we went around the room this morning and took a poll of all of us gathered here today, I wonder what percentage of us would admit to feelings of inadequacy or a lack of confidence when it came or comes to a job we hold or held or a certain task that we were asked to fulfill. Perhaps we experience the feeling of being unprepared or overwhelmed by what was being asked of us. For those of you who would have answered yes to this question, well, then you can sympathize with the disciples in our gospel reading for today. I sometimes wonder about the mental state of the disciples, especially when we encounter this cry, this desperate plea, command to Jesus, increase our faith. The disciples are responding to Jesus' command that they are to forgive 7 times a day, though not as demanding as St. Matthew's 70 times 7. It still stresses the Sisyphean element of forgiveness. This outcry of theirs appears to come from a place of inadequacy, a place of inferiority, or a place of fear. It appears that the disciples lack the confidence that they are equipped to do what Jesus has called them to. The disciples seem to struggle with the idea of faith, as if faith is something that one can acquire more of. Here, perhaps through a special blessing of Jesus himself. It also begs the question whether they think it can also be decreased, such as through a certain action or a lack of action that will decrease one's faith. We have no way of knowing exactly how the disciples viewed the concept of faith, but in this instance, we get a pretty good picture that they think it is certainly something that can be increased, and their current state of faith is insufficient, and they must acquire more. Jesus, in his hyperbolic way of speaking, points out to them that their faith isn't measured in quantity. Faith is not something they need to acquire more of, and that the faith that they already have is sufficient. It is enough. And with it, they can do the work of the kingdom. They can do exactly that which Jesus is asking of them. Now, this fear of inadequacy seems to stem from something each and every one of us knows all too well. In our lives, there are moments when we are confronted with the voices, either externally or internally, of whether we are enough. Can we be enough? Did we do enough? This cannot be the case with faith. For where would it end? How much is enough? How does one go about acquiring more? And when do you know when you've hit the necessary limit? What the disciples didn't know at the time, and something we as Lutherans should be very familiar with, is that it's none of the above, because that's not how faith works. As Luther taught on the third article of the Apostles' Creed, faith is a gift given to us by the Spirit, so we may in fact believe. Luther makes it abundantly clear that there really is no other way for us to do so, not by our own efforts, our own reason, or our own strength, can we believe in Jesus Christ, a.k.a. we cannot have faith, increase our faith, etc., without it being given to us by the Holy Spirit in the first place. And I might add, that which is given to us by the Spirit is enough. And because of this, we are called to trust in this promise. For if faith can be viewed as trust, then Jesus is inviting the disciples, as well as all those who follow him, to put their trust in him and to have faith that theirs and ours and mine and your faith is enough simply because Jesus says so. Once again, St. Luke breaks out the economy of the kingdom, showing us that God's system of measures is not the system of this world. There is no goal to reach. There's no bar or hump to get over. Faith is not measured in a point system. Faith is not some accumulation of enough hole punches in your card for salvation and eternal life. Here Jesus shows us the ridiculousness of our rating system by choosing the mustard seed as the guide and rule of faith. A mustard seed. A tiny, insignificant seed is said to be sufficient. In fact, even more than. This really should come as no surprise or no shock when we look at how God operates throughout all of Scripture. God chooses barren wombs and aged men to grow his people. God chooses the littlest of a bunch of brothers to slay a giant and to rule a nation. An unmarried peasant girl was chosen as the mother of God. And Jesus himself, a nobody itinerant preacher from a podunk town who confers with ne'er-do-wells, hookers, tax collectors, and the diseased, and who dies a criminal's death, is yet the savior of all creation. A mustard seed of faith is all that is necessary in God's eyes. So holding this to be true, it comes with great sadness that one of the most damaging messages the church in some congregations and some denominations continues to communicate that faith is somehow antithetical to doubt, fear, or ambivalence. That when it comes to faith, our problem is simply scarcity and insufficiency. This is a cruel and deeply damaging lie. Having faith, especially a mustard seed faith, does not mean that we will never struggle with unbelief or distrust or anxiety. Having faith means leaning hard into God's promises. Having faith means pursuing the things of God and participating in the work of the kingdom, even when, or even especially when, the pursuit or work feels painful or pointless. And when it does, remember you are in good company. People of faith have felt this way from the prophets down to the saints of today. In our Old Testament reading, Habakkuk struggles with the perversion of the law and the injustice that surrounds him. In what could be read as a condemnation of our present time, Habakkuk is pleading with God about his current and dire situation. And though God doesn't immediately remedy all that ails the people, God leaves Habakkuk with hope, with a vision, with a promise. And this promise is enough for the prophet to continue pursuing those things of God, knowing that God was with him and with the people. My friends in Christ, it is important to know that faith is not just all about us. In our continued efforts to have some sort of say in our salvation, we so desperately want to have even a nugget of control. The reality and the good news of the gospel that we don't. For in this relationship, God is the faithful one. It is God who grants the faith in the first place. God is the one who pursues us, who claims us, who journeyed from death into life for us, and who gives us the ability to live into this life of faith. God is the one who has given us the faith of a mustard seed, all the while whispering to us, calling to us, "You are enough. Your faith is enough. So go and love your neighbor." Amen.